We're in Psalm 92. And stand with me, if you are able and willing to do so. Psalm 92, I'm just going to read two verses. I'll read the opening verse and I'll read, say, preacher, when are we going to be done with Psalm 92? Y'all want the answer to that? We'll be done with Psalm 92 when we're done with Psalm 92. Amen. Amen. It won't be much longer, but I'll only get one more verse tonight and next week. And you won't believe this. I just jam-packed with truth, verses 12 through 15. But next week we'll try to finish it up if the Lord will help us. All right? Verse number 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Verse 11, as we've been making our way through this psalm verse by verse, verse 11 will be the verse we want to cover tonight. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Amen. And so everybody's on the edge of their spiritual seat, Brother Mike, going, yes, I cannot wait to hear this. Amen. That God is going to do something to my enemies. And you may be excited right now, but when we get where we want to go, amen, I trust the Lord will have put all of us where we need to be put as we try to study this. All right, be seated. Heavenly Father, one more time, help us as we try to expound the Word of God, teach these things that you've given us. Lord, it's been a challenge to my own heart, and I'm thankful for that. I pray, Lord, you do it for these that have gathered in and help us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Psalm 92, we believe to be that of being authored by David. And as I've studied this psalm and I began my study on this psalm, it was kind of unclear in men that I'd read after and places that I'd gone for some references as to when David could have wrote it. And yet the longer I study this psalm, you'll remember last week we give you some indication that the Lord seemed to be opening this psalm up to my own heart, that David likely has penned this psalm after that of his second anointing, that initial anointing, public anointing, as he was anointed in Hebron, and to be king. Not all of the kingdom followed after him. There was a matter that took place after that anointing that kept his kingdom divided. And between his second and his third anointing is when I believe this psalm was penned, and that'll be very key to our study tonight as we make our way again to verse number 11. And so Psalm 92 is written according to the heading to be sung on the Sabbath day. That is, it is a corporate psalm and psalm of worship. And we understand it still has relevance to us today, not that we're Sabbath day worshipers. Amen. We worship on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, but the theme of this psalm is picked up immediately in verse number 1, where David simply says, and dogmatically says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And so we're to give thanks to the Lord. That is a good thing. And we've been making our way through this psalm, understanding that it is a good thing, simply meaning well-pleasing, fruitful, morally correct, just simply to give God thanks for what He does and who He is to our life. It's just the right thing to do. Amen. And so it's morally correct. It's proper. The word good means appealing or pleasant, and carries the idea that this matter of thankfulness and giving God thanks, it is good in the sense that it is better, it is the better of two alternatives. And David here doesn't lay out the other alternative, but the other alternative is simply the opposite of the one that he says is good, and that is to be thankful or to be unthankful. And so to be thankful is always the better alternative to being an ingrate and an unthankful child of God for those things that God has given to us. And David will hit on this theme later on in the psalm 103. Amen. Where he speaks to his own soul and commands it, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And one of the ways that we don't forget his benefits is that we thank him for the things that he has done. And so he said it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And we've been making our way through this psalm, preaching on the thought, the goodness of gratefulness. The goodness of gratefulness. I'm not going to run through and preach all this again. But in verses 1 through 5, we've seen the appreciation. The appreciation in verses 1 through 5. David is inspired and is inspiring others, motivating others that we would be appreciative to the Lord and what that appreciation might look like. And so he dealt with the timing of our appreciation, verse number 2, that it is to begin in the morning and it is to go through to every night. And then we dealt with the themes of our appreciation, God's loving kindness and his faithfulness. The thrust of our appreciation in verse number 3. And we dealt with that. We looked at that. And then we looked in the triumph of our appreciation, verse number 4, that David, through understanding what God has done, thanking God for what he's done, that it has an effect in his life, making him glad and causing him to triumph. And so he's brightening up and he's getting his shout back and his joy back. And there's triumph associated with our appreciation. And then the fifth point there in the appreciation, verse number 5, we looked at the thoughts of our appreciation. How that David went beyond thanking God just for what God had performed for him and settled in on the fact that God would even ponder about us. And so the way we've worded this, and it just has really been drilled in my heart and my thoughts, that every answer to prayer, that every good thing that God does for you and I, that ought to be to thank him for that. But with every one of those works, there is a testimony in that, that God has been thinking about us. And in that, we ought to thank God again. Amen. That the thoughts that God has about us, according to verse number 5, that David said, they are very deep. And we did a little study on verse number 5, and it's blessed my heart. And I'm thankful for it. The appreciation, verses 1 through 5. The abomination, verses 6 through 9, simply put, without preaching all of it, the abomination is that David acknowledges that the brutish man and the fool, they do not understand the goodness of God in their life. They don't understand it's by the grace of God they have what they have. And though they flourish in their sinful ways, in their self-promotion, the thoughts they have is, I have made me a very great individual. And so they go through life never acknowledging God, never thinking about God, and therefore never thanking God for what God has done in their life. And that is an abomination, whether that be in the heathen world or in our lives as God's children. That would be an abomination for God to have been so good to you and I. And yet, my friend, to never acknowledge that God has been good to you and I. And that's what we call the abomination. We dealt with several things through there. And last week, we began our last section of this psalm, where we considered the anticipation. The anticipation in verses 10 through 15, you find that David uses future tense words showing his trust in anticipating the Lord to do some very specific things for him. He's in this time of his life that it would have appeared that David was on the brink of receiving what God had promised to him as a young man, going all the way back to 1 Samuel 16, that he was going to be the king over the nation of Israel. He was God's chosen man. And after a long series of years of running and hiding and fighting and seemingly would never see that, Saul and Jonathan died. And it looks like David is going to receive that only to find that the battle is still going to rage on. We'll look at that more in a moment. And now he's in this time where he still has some battles to fight. In fact, we'll look at a verse here in a moment that is going to say David and his men were long at war. And yet in this time of war, David pens his song of thankfulness and gratitude, not only for what God has done and God has given to him personally in this hard time of his life, but this gratitude, this goodness of gratefulness, it reaches out by faith and lays hold upon the things that David knows that God has promised he is going to do in David's life. And so tonight, we can always thank God for things that God has done, amen, in yesterday. And we may look around, and it may be hard to find too much to thank Him for, amen, as far as tangible, touching kind of things in our life on any given and present day. You'll find it if you look hard enough, but, amen, everything may not be going well in our life tonight. We may have some battles. There may be some wars that are raging. And yet we can still thank God in anticipation for those things that God has yet to do for you and I. And so David's thankfulness in this psalm went into the realm of things the Lord was going to do for him in days to come. And he gets very, very specific about this in verses 10 down through verse number 15. In verse number 10, we see the anticipation of anointing power. I ain't got time to preach it all again. Amen. Go back and watch it online and, amen, be blessed in your heart. Verse 10 is a wondrous, wondrous verse. And David is anticipating God's anointing power to be upon his life. He had been anointed when he was young. He had been anointed there in Hebron when he penned this psalm. If I am right on the background of it, he had already been anointed one time publicly. But David said there in verse number 10, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Amen. God is going to continue to anoint me until what God has promised in my life comes to pass. And last week we preached on the fresh anointing oil and unicorns and our horns being exalted. And all of that referencing David's anticipation of anointing power, the touch and the approval of God upon his life. Amen. Well, that's the introduction tonight. Amen. Give me 23 minutes. I'll have you out at 8 o'clock. Amen. Number two, David not only has an anticipation of anointing power, but in verse number 11, I believe we see David's anticipation of answered prayer. David's anticipation of answered prayer. Listen to our verse again, where David said, mine eye shall see my desire on mine enemies. Note the phrase, my desire. And mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. And so we're interested tonight in this verse for our thought, David's anticipation of answered prayer. The two words and the phrase contained in this verse, my desire. Amen. Twice he says that, mine eye also shall see my desire. He said, my ear shall hear my desire. And this here, I believe this verse shows David anticipating the Lord to answer his prayer. Amen. The phrase that is used here, my desire, deals with David's prayer life. Now, when you began to read and study, and I study after a lot of men, read a lot of books, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes that ain't good, and sometimes you get a nugget, and you get real happy, And sometimes you find some rotten eggs, amen, that'll make you mad. And I was amazed how many men that are read after, good men that I've gleaned after, that when it came to verse number 11, you'll notice in your Bible, in the King James Bible, the words "my desire" in both instances in this verse are italicized. And every, I won't say every man I read after, several men that I read after said that the King James Bible has done an injustice to this translation, that it does not, the words "my desire" don't really mean "my desire." Well, amen, everybody look this way, and David is speaking about his prayer life. Amen, "my desire" is there to clarify to you and I that those translators of our King James Bible understood David was talking about some spiritual desires that David had concerning his enemies and the war that he was in and the things that were pressing against his life. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, let me show you the connection of desire and our prayer life. Do you remember what Paul said in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 1? I know we're kind of studying right now. I'll preach in just a second, but Gerald, and here's what Paul said in Romans chapter number 10 and in verse number 1. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And so Paul makes a connection that, amen, our prayer life is connected to, amen, the spiritual desires of our heart and the burdens that we bear. Amen, let me read you a verse here. You can look there in Matthew chapter number 11. And Matthew chapter number 11, let me look at this one with you. You look at it with me. Matthew 11, verse number 24. Matthew 11, verse number 24. Here is what, that is not the verse that I wanted. Amen. I was afraid that I was going to do that. Amen. I have to give you that verse, amen, at another time. But the Lord made a connection at when we pray that we are, amen, to express our desire to God. Amen. And so we find here that, amen, it's not uncommon in the Word of God that desire, our desire, is connected to our prayer life. Amen. Look with me in 1 John 5:15. I know this one's right. Amen. 1 John 5 and in verse number 15. 1 John 5, verse number 15. Here's what the Bible said, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. Amen. Notice confidence. We can anticipate. Amen. We can look forward to. We can trust God. Amen. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, it's our pondering on prayer now, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we what? Desired of Him. And John makes it pretty clear here that this matter of prayer, that prayer, amen, what we ask for in prayer is but, amen, quoting John, the petitions that we desired of Him. Amen, prayer is an expression of our spiritual desire. Does that make sense? Amen. Then whatever our spiritual desire would be, and when we pray, and all we are doing in prayer is communicating, amen, to God in asking and knocking and seeking, and in talking to God, it is simply an expression, amen, a petition of what we desire God to do in our life. And so I would say tonight, amen, the King James Bible translators got it absolutely perfect. Amen, Brother Mike, absolutely perfect. Amen, and so we want to look at this. And David, amen, is anticipating, there's an anticipation, amen, that God has, amen, God has heard him, and that in time, Amen. God is going to help him. Amen. That what David's desire is, God is going to come through and God is going to answer his prayer. And we want to look at that for just a minute tonight. And I wrote down three things in studying this one verse. And Brother Mark, I can absolutely guarantee it. Amen. If we will apply it, amen, what I'm going to give to you tonight, amen, you can anticipate that God will answer every prayer you ever pray to Him. Amen. Everyone. Amen. You say, preacher, there ain't no way you can prove that from this verse. Well, look at it with me if you will. And number one, I want to look at, amen, the assurance for answered prayer. The assurance of David is found in the phrase that is used here in this verse, two of them I want to look at, where David said, mine eye also shall see. And he said, and mine ear shall hear. The word shall implies that there is no doubting of this in David's life. And what David has expressed to God by way of his desire in this matter, the battle that he is in, that my friend, he is confident, there is assurance in his heart that God has heard what David has prayed. And that God has not only heard, but that my friend, God is there and God in time will answer David's prayer. Amen. May I say, when David here says, mine eyes shall see and mine ear also shall hear. Amen. This is not anything David will experience because of self-confidence or self-sufficiency that he in some way believes God owes him something. My friend, no, David, amen, has graduated further than that in the school of prayer. Amen. He's not saying God's going to do this because just because I asked it and just because in my spiritual desire. Amen. David doesn't say God's going to do this because I've been a mighty man of God for him. He doesn't say that he's earned this in any way. Amen. Where then does David's assurance come from? And where's his faith at? And by the way, you'll never have answered prayer, amen, if you don't have some faith and assurance when you pray. Amen. Oh, you can't be praying in doubt. Amen. Lord, do this if you can. Lord, I'm going to ask you for this, but, amen, and it's not even pouring your heart out to God. Amen. And then biting your fingernails off. David, amen, in this time of his life has an assurance for answered prayer. You say, where is that assurance? Amen. David's assurance in this verse comes, amen, from the Lord of the verse before. Amen. He said, Lord, you're going to exalt my horn. And Lord, you're the one that's going to anoint me with power. And the idea, the grammatical structure in verse number 10, amen, flows into verse number 11, but David is quite aware that, amen, it is the Lord that is going to give him anointing power, and it is that same Lord that is going to let him have, amen, an answer to his prayers. Amen. And so again, this is not, amen, self-confidence. This is not self-sufficiency. Amen. This is not the popping off, amen, of some self-righteous saint of God. This is a saint of God, amen, that is saying, I am trusting that God has heard my prayer. I am trusting and confident and assured that my God will answer this prayer. Amen. These shall see and shall hear statements are reflections of David's faith in God. Amen. Can I illustrate it with another verse? Amen. With cross references, if you knew some cross references on verse number 11, look over with me if you would in Psalm 112. Psalm 112. I know this is elementary. Just hang with me. We need to be reminded of this. In Psalm 112, verse number 7 and 8, here's what David said. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. He's talking about a truly good man, a saved man who is saved and right with God and living for God. Here's what he said. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid, notice, until he see his desire upon his enemies. And so the thought here that I think is found and tucked below the surface is Psalm 92:11 is exposed in Psalm 112 and verse number 8. Hey, my friend, the man that is saved and right with God, hey, man, he's doing his best to honor God in all he does. Hey, man, he hears evil tidings. There are things going on around it. Hey, man, there are battles raging in his life. Hey, man, and yet that good man has no fear. That good man has a heart that is fixed. Amen. And it is fixed because he is trusting in the Lord. Amen. His heart, David said, is established. Amen. And there is no fear in that man. Watch this now. Amen. There is no, he shall not be afraid. And the big word that I settled in, Brother Mike, on this is the word until. Amen. He is not going to have any fear in him. Amen. Even though the battle rages, he's made his prayer to God. He has some desires. Amen. And God is going to keep him, amen, settled and his heart fixed and established. Amen. Assured of the fact, amen, that God will help him. Amen. And in that faith rises up, fear fades away. Amen. Because of this assurance that the good man has about answered prayer. Amen. Does that make sense? The anticipation of answered prayer. Number two, the assurance of it. But number two, notice with me, this is big to the statement I made a moment ago, and some of y'all, amen, you already spit it out on the ground. I made the statement, there is a way, amen, to use this verse to be guaranteed that every prayer you pray, amen, God will answer it. You can be assured of that. You say, how in the world is that, preacher? Well, notice in this verse, David said, mine, I shall see my desire. Amen. My desire. He said, my ears shall hear my desire. Now in our text, David is speaking of my desire. This is David's desire. And you say, preacher, I've desired a lot of things from God. And I anticipated he would answer that prayer, and he never did. And it never came to pass. Preacher David seems to be tapped into something that maybe is missing a lot of times in our prayer life. And it is what I call the alignment for answered prayer. You see, when David speaks of my desire, amen, I believe I can prove to you, and we'll hear in just a second, that, amen, when David says my desire, what David says is my desire was in perfect alignment with God's desire. Amen. The New Testament principle and truth is simply this. Amen. James said in his writing on prayer, amen, you have not because you ask it amiss that you might consume it upon your own lust. In other words, we can pray and ask for God to do something and express a desire to God that is completely outside of the realm of God's will and God's desire. Amen. And James said, if that is the way you're praying, if your desires are only wrapped up in what you want and what you think and how you think they ought to be, and they never come into alignment with what God's will and God's plan is, amen, you are asking amiss. It will never happen. Amen. It is a guarantee to have unanswered prayers in your life. Is there a reflection? Is there any way, Amen. We can make a connection that David's prayer life had come, that his desires were in alignment with the desires of God. Flip back with me, if you would, in the Psalms again. And in Psalm 54 and in verse number 4, we'll read down to verse 7. David said, "Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good." Now notice verse number 7, "For he," this is the Lord now, amen, "for he," the Lord, "hath delivered me out of all my trouble, and mine eye has seen." Notice here, he does not say my desire, but rather his desire upon mine enemies. In other words, David, in Psalm 54, 7, amen, says that, and God brings me out of my trouble. And when he does that, Brother Jerry, he is exacting his desire, amen, his will, his plan, his purposes, amen, are fulfilled in my life. And so when we take that and we plug it into Psalm 92:11, when David said, "I am sure that God is going to hear my prayer and that God is going to answer my desire," amen, the only guarantee and assurance in the way we can anticipate that, amen, without any ounce of failure, any ounce of fear, amen, and with all the faith of a mustard seed, Brother Larry, is to have our desires aligned with the desires of our God. The way you can rest assured that every prayer you ever pray, amen, you can anticipate God to answer it, make sure you are praying in the will of God. Amen. That's hard because we're in the flesh. That's hard because there's a lot of things I would do that, amen, people ought to thank God that I ain't God. Amen, God's thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. And Paul would even say in the New Testament, Romans 8, amen, there's times we don't know how to pray as we ought to, but that the Spirit of God, that amen, Spirit of the Lord in his intercessory work, amen, leads and guides and directs our prayers. Amen, the only true way, listen to me now, I know this is elementary, my last point, it's going to be very practical and get to the root of the matter in a lot of our lives and prayer lives, amen, but hear me out on this, amen, a lot of times we, amen, are so self-centered in the way that we want things and how we desire God to do things, and my friend, the only guarantee that we have, amen, to anticipate answered prayer is to learn how to pray in the Holy Ghost. You'll learn how to pray in the Holy Ghost. Every prayer you pray will be in line with the desires of God. Amen. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost takes your desires, amen, and shows you where they're not in line with God's desires, and your life through prayer begins to line up so that you can say, "My desires are the desires of the God of my life." Does that make sense? Amen. Number 3. Amen. I got 3 minutes to preach 20 minutes of this last point. Look with me back in our verse. "Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me." Remember I told you there's some of them authors I read behind. Good men. But they say, well, by saying "my desire," that this makes this verse sound like David is full of vengeance and David is out to seek justice against his enemies. That ain't what it says. It just says David has some desires and he is anticipating God is going to answer those desires. And that David doesn't have to get ahead of God and do anything outside of God's will. He is assured that God knows what he's going through and that God will bring him through. And when all is said and done, it doesn't matter who's for him. It doesn't matter who's against him. David is going to see God do some great things in his life. Amen. And so my third point for the anticipation of answered prayer is what I call the attitude for answered prayer. Here's what they say again, Brother Mike, that the way it reads in the King James, that David is some spiteful, hateful, warmongering man seeking to destroy his enemies. Amen. All right. If that's so, we got to look to the Word of God and see what David's attitude is. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, news comes to David, Saul and Jonathan are dead. And I'll try to give this to you quickly. 2 Samuel chapter number 2. In fact, if you want to turn there, maybe I'll point out a verse or two along the way. And I want to show you something about this time of David's life. Because when you read verse 11, amen, if you don't understand the background where David is, you can have David praying and desiring something that David never did desire. Amen. Now, he does call them his enemies. He does, amen, talk about those that have risen up against him. In 2 Samuel chapter number 2 and in verse number 1 down through verse verse number four, you'll find that David is brought to Hebron. He's there with his men, he's there with his wives, he's there with his family, and men of Judah came, verse number four, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. Remember, we dealt with that on last week. In verse number five, and David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh Gilead and said unto them, blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed his kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness because ye have done this thing. Therefore, let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. Verse number 8, notice, but Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over unto Mahanaim. And you'll find in verse number 9 that Abner takes Ishbosheth, y'all hang with me now, and he anoints Ishbosheth to be the king there in Mahanaim. And so he's going to rule over the Asherites and over Jezreel and over Ephraim and over Benjamin. And the Bible said, and over all Israel. And so you have Abner and Ishbosheth. Amen. Hear that. My friend have experienced a rejection, led a rejection of David, amen, and divided his kingdom. And so Saul has died. David has been anointed in Hebron. The rejection of David, amen, by Abner and Ishbosheth. Now, let me ask you this. Was Abner doing David wrong? Absolutely. Was Ishbosheth outside of the will of God in what he has done to David? Absolutely he has. In fact, you'll understand in verse number 11, and the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah. Amen. Notice how long this standoff went. Amen. The Bible said it went on for 7.5 years. Or 7.5 years, David had been anointed in Judah. And Ishbosheth had been anointed, amen, to be the king of all Israel. And this war begins to break out, amen, between these two factions of people. Abner has done David wrong. And Ishbosheth has done David wrong. I would say myself, that these two men represent, amen, represent the enemies and those that David said in Psalm 92:11 have rose up against him. Amen. They're the ones that have done David wrong and David dirty. And you'll study this. I got to hurry. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 2 verse 11. Amen. 7.5 years David was rejected, cut short, and had battle in a divided kingdom. Now during these 7.5 years, chapter number 2 through chapter number 4 cover. Amen. And you'll find that Hazael, the brother of Abishai and Joab, as they are warring back and forth there on the side of David, that is Joab, Abishai, and Hazael, these three brothers, and they're out and they're warring with Abner. Hazael winds up, amen, trying to run down Abner, and he runs him down and he got more than he could bargain for. And before Hazael can kill Abner, Abner kills the brother of Joab. You'll find Joab and Abishai didn't take that lightly. And they're pursuing after Abner and his men. Only Abner turns to Joab and Abishai and their men. And he said, look, hey man, if y'all keep this up, hey man, there's going to be bitterness between us, hey man, from now on. And he rebuked Joab and Abishai, amen, for this conflict that they are seeking to destroy his life. He was in self-defense when he killed Hazael. And so Joab said, well, I think we'll turn and we'll go back to David. And we'll just tell David what Abner has done. He's done David wrong. He's done us wrong. He's killed our brother. And we'll all go sit down and have a powwow about it. And that's how chapter number 2 ends. Chapter number 3. In chapter number 3, you'll find that Abner and Ishbosheth have a falling out. And Abner looks at Ishbosheth after he has been accused of doing something with one of Saul's concubines. Amen. Abner said, I can't believe you've accused me of this. And no doubt it had been falsely accused. And he looked at Ishbosheth and he said, I'm done with you. I'm going to David. I'm talking about a man that had done David wrong. I'm talking about a man that had done, had lied on David and worked against David and rose up against David. Abner said, hey man, I'm done with Ishbosheth. I'm going back. And you study it out. It's amazing to my own mind. Hey man, that in that conversation, Abner tells Ishbosheth, hey man, the same way God has recognized the authority and position of David, that is the same way I'm going to recognize David. I'm going back to it. And so here comes Abner to David in chapter number 3. Hey man, to get right with David. Wait a minute. David said, mine eyes shall see my desire upon those that have risen up against me, those that, amen, have done me wrong and have done me ill favor, those that have made themselves my enemies. Here comes Abner. If David's desire, Brother Gerald, had been vengeance and spitefulness and an old bad, bitter attitude, he'd have never let Abner make it right. In fact, Abner comes back. Abner blesses David as the king. And David gives him a little test and a little thing to do. And Abner goes and he does it. He brings Michal, Saul's daughter, back to David. And in doing so, in the course of chapter number 3, you'll find that David actually sits down at a table and has a meal with this Abner that done him so wrong in the previous text. In fact, amen, Abner gets done eating the meal and he's ready to go and he requests the king permission to leave. And the Bible said that David let Abner go in peace. All of a sudden, Joab's making his way back and somebody whispers in his ear, Abner was sitting at the table of David. And David let Abner go in peace. Joab came storming in, amen, into David and says, and I've got a point I'm going to make. Y'all just enjoy the story. Amen. And here comes Joab. David, what in the world? Abner came into the camp.
and I hear that you've let him go in peace. David, do you not understand what he done to you? Do you not understand he killed our brother? Do you not understand the hurt that he has caused? Do you not understand how upset that he has made you and made our family? And Joab, in anger, turns and goes back to call Abner unto himself. Pulls Abner to the side, the Bible said, to speak with him quietly. And when he did, he smote him in the ribs with a dagger and took his very life. You say, well, there is David's desire upon his enemies. Oh, no, because when word gets back to David what Joab has done, Here is David begins to weep and grieve, and he says, the blood of Abner is not on my hands, it's on your hands. Amen. That don't sound like somebody who had a vengeful spirit. That doesn't sound like somebody who, amen, in the course of 7.5 years has prayed, Lord, I want to see my desire upon mine enemies. I want my ear to hear my desire upon those that have risen up against me. David is not seeking justice. He is not seeking vengeance. In fact, I would argue that David's ultimate desire with those that had done him wrong was reconciliation. It's what he got for a brief amount of time till Joab and all his bitterness showed up. David in his prayer, they come to David and they're going to try to get David to eat. And David is there, and David said, amen, so long as the sun is in the sky, I will not eat bread, I will not drink water. And he looked at Joab and Abishai and said, you men are too hard for me. He rebuked their bitterness and their hardness because that man Abner had done them wrong and had done David wrong. But when David said, I have a desire for mine enemies, it was not vengeance. It wasn't a dagger in the ribs he was looking for. Amen. Say, well, what about Ishbosheth? He's still over there ruling, yeah. The next chapter, the Bible said Saul's son, that is Ishbosheth, heard Abner was dead in Hebron. His hands were feeble and all the Israelites were troubled. A sad story takes place in chapter number 4. There are two men that come to where Ishbosheth is. He's trying to sleep upon his bed in his chamber. They come to him and find him there. And the Bible said in verse number 7, they smote him and slew him and beheaded him and took his head and got them away through the plain all night. Where do you reckon they're going to go? They're going to go see David. They bring the head of Ishbosheth in and they set it out there to David and said, look what we've done. We got the one who rose up against you. We have beheaded your enemy. Now, if David's desire is vengeance, if David's desire and attitude is, Lord, I want them wiped out and destroyed and run off and absolutely bring them down and humiliate them, he would have said, thank you, boys, patted them on the back, gave them a promotion and a big position in his military. David looked at them men. He said, there was a time not too long ago, a man come to me and brought word that Saul had been slain on the battle. And he told me he was the one that slew him. And he thought I would give him a reward. And I up and rose and slew him and killed him. And he said, I'm going to do the same thing to you men. And Brother Tim, here's what he said. Here's what he said. Are y'all ready for this? He said, y'all are wicked men that slew a righteous man. The man who had rose up against him, the man who was sitting in the seat that David was supposed to sit in, the man wearing the crown David was supposed to wear. Why y'all so quiet? David said, he's a righteous man. Brother A.L., I can't find anything personally that's righteous about anything he did in chapter 2 and in chapter 3. But here's how I know David's attitude was right. He called him a righteous man, and he did not rejoice in the downfall and the bloodshed and the beheading of somebody that had done him wrong. Say, preacher, how do I have an anticipation of answered prayer in my life? You keep your attitude right with God and right with men. God will bring together things that have been divided. And David, listen, David had no blood on his hands where Abner or Ishbosheth was concerned. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? Here, let's just bring it all the way down. I feel like it ain't connected. I'm sorry for that. I'm doing the best I can. Get the bitterness out of your heart and the hardness out of your heart. Stay sweet. If you'll stay sweet with God, you'll stay sweet even with those who do you wrong. You can say with David, mine eyes shall see my desire upon mine enemies. My ears shall hear my desire on those who rise up against me. A guarantee that God will answer your prayer. You gotta have the right attitude. Well, what about them places over there where David prayed them imprecatory prayers that God would slay them? We all pray them. Don't mean it's always right. Amen. Doesn't mean it's always right. Amen. I feel like we're preaching tonight. When God opened that up to me, I thought, oh, Lord, that is what we need in these days. Amen. Some things you just got to put in God's hands. Say, Lord, I'm going to let you worry about it. I'm just going to stay sweet. I'm going to do what you anointed me to do. I'll do what I can do. Leave the rest up to you. Amen. What was David's ultimate desire then? I believe it was... Ultimately, he wanted reconciliation. Maybe even greater than that, he wanted the kingdom. He wanted the kingdom to be whole. He wanted the kingdom to be whole. Amen. And when you want the people of God in unity and working together, and that's the way you're praying, that's your desire in line with God's desire, God will answer that prayer. Amen. All right, well, I've either bored you or I made you, amen, something. All right, I hope that's a help to us. I promise we'll finish. No, I don't promise that we'll finish next week. I promise we'll try. We'll do our dead level best, amen, to finish up Psalm 92. I don't even know how many messages I preached on it, but we'll get into trees. Amen. We called you unicorns or challenged you to be a unicorn last week. And next week we'll challenge you to be a palm tree, a cedar tree. Amen. And hallelujah, you can grow and flourish for the Lord. All right? Amen. By the way, amen, if you got anticipation of answered prayer, don't forget our thought is the goodness of gratefulness. You can stand and lift your hands tonight and say, I'm in line with all those principles in my prayer life. Lord, I'm just going to go ahead and thank you that you are going to bring this thing to pass. Amen. Have that faith and that confidence.